Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN 1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN 1050.
Never filtered. Always fun.
I am just going to hammer Justify at the Preakness.
Somebody I'm saying is a man amongst boys.
Just a couple of feet taller and
there's
heavier.
Eric Lindros.
Yeah, basically. Justify as Lindros playing against like minor bantams. Just hammer them at the Preakness.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, and Jamie Noodles McLennan, our good buddy Jerry, will join us at 5:30. Jerry's percentages. So we'll see what he has in store this week. That's coming up at 5:30. David Griffin will join us. Former GM of the Cavaliers, so longtime NBA executive, get his take on Masai Ujiri and what he had to say earlier today, and Dwayne Casey, who kind of feels like a dead man walking, but he's still under contract. He's obligated to step up to the podium and speak with the media, and I thought he was very diplomatic today. He didn't say anything outrageous.
Yeah,
there was a part of me that wanted to see him and or Masai be a little bit more critical of their own players. But I would like to believe that's happening behind the scenes. I mean, you guys have been in this situation as players. Do you want your guys? How would you react if your president or coach came out after the season and just carved you guys or carved your best players?
Well, it's about relationships, too. Can you imagine if Mike Babcock came out after the season and was like, yeah, Austin Matthews wasn't good enough in the playoffs?
Well, there was a big argument with the TNT panel.
Yeah, that
Charles and
Shaq.
That was a pretty good argument. Like,
it was like Charles was saying, you can't do that to your best player. And Shaq was like, what are you talking about? If he sucks, you put him on the bench, which I totally agree with. What do you want to massage it and say, I'll keep going out there and being garbage?
Yeah.
What message does that send to everybody else?
That was in game three. DeMar was awful.
Yeah.
And when
Charles Barkley, of all people, was saying, oh, you can't do that to your best player. Well, guess what? You do it because it's terrible.
And they went on a run without him. Yeah. Like, if it went further south afterwards.
And if he keeps playing, everyone else on the bench is saying, why is this happening here? He's not even playing good. He gets to go out there, and I'm sitting on the bench.
One word.
Not the right message.
Accountability.
Thank you.
Players on the bench, when they see a star player or a guy who's making a lot of money not producing, and you know what it's like. If a guy who's farther down in the lineup makes one mistake, usually their ass is nailed to the bench. But stars, they get, and so they should. They should get multiple opportunities to get rolled back out there. But at some point, you should have everyone accountable so that it almost checks and balances the whole team.
Well, you would also ideally like for your players to never put themselves in the position where they could be benched.
Right.
Like, that's not Dwayne Casey's fault that DeMar had an awful game.
Yeah, you're right.
You can call it a series, can't you?
Yeah. I don't think anyone played particularly well. Maybe OG Anunoby, like, he looked okay, but he's a kid. He's a rookie, so.
And Ryan, we've had the same conversation after all the upsets or all the disappointments. The same guys don't get it done. How do you keep defending them?
Well, you're going to have to keep defending them if you're the Raptors because Masai said, you know, they're not going to blow it up. These guys are going to come back. They're going to bring the band back together. He committed to them last year.
All right. Well, there's the old saying about the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing and getting this, or whatever it is.
Thanks, George Bush. There's an old saying in Tennessee. Well, it's in Texas. I'm sure it's in Tennessee.
Or not changing
Fool
whatever
me once.
Yeah, no, I know. The definition of insanity.
He's doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different result.
That's insanity. So,
fool me once. Shame on you.
Play the George Bush.
Yeah, we've got to get the George Bush.
Do you have this? If you have it in the chamber there, just let her go.
Big George Bush, man.
We'll find it. Yeah. We're definitely playing that. We got to play that before we get.
We'll have to get
David Griffin on because, that was your own version of George W. Bush,
for sure. We don't have it.
No, we don't have it.
Yeah, we're sewering.
Well, it's
Mulder.
Not.
He's got
not
other
Mullen's
things going
fault.
On.
He sewered me because he gave me the nod like he had.
Oh,
it.
Did he give you the heads up there?
Yeah,
he'll find it.
Nah.
He's got so many. Why do we have so much stuff in that folder?
Because all we are is a soundbite show.
Like, yeah,
we have
basically
soundbites like. We haven't even gone back to our Donald Trump sound.
All right, let's hear this beauty that we love.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
You can't get fooled again.
I love how...
What, like, did he start singing the song?
Well, there's conviction in that. Yeah. Because, like, a lot of people, if they haven't heard it, they're like, hey, must have got it right. Look how serious he was about that statement.
If you are... That is half of it, though. Fake it to make it. If you are that sure, even if your statement isn't true or it's wrong, but you're confident about it...
People will believe you.
Yeah.
People will believe you. Absolutely. That is the art of deception.
Yeah. I've gone into NHL rinks and my credentials inside my jacket, and God knows I don't really look like a hockey player anymore. But if you just walk in and give the security guy a head nod, it's like you don't even have to show anybody everything. Because you're walking in, it's like, I've been here before, I know how to do this.
That guy's got so much confidence, he must be a player.
Yeah, he's with the team or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it must be something because...
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. The confidence, but you had it. The definition of insanity, it was close. You were right there. You were right there.
Mm-hmm. You almost had it.
Yeah,
all right,
thanks.
So David Griffin will join us here in a moment. No NHL hockey tonight. Game 7 tomorrow night. And then Vegas is sitting there waiting to see who they're going to play. And on Friday night, it's Washington-Tampa down in Tampa for Game 1. A lot of people are buzzing about Brad Marchand and what he had to say earlier today, where he said he's got to cut this crap out. He can't continue to do the same things he's been doing on the ice forever. And
yeah.
I don't buy it for a second.
You're
I
not
think
buying it?
No, I think that's the player he is. And honestly, there's a part of me that I would suggest, like, licking people, that's got to stop.
Yeah, that's...
But everything else he does playing on the edge, I think he has to continue to do it because that's what's made him the player he is.
But do you think that's what he meant? Or do you think it was the licking nonsense?
I think the licking stuff. I think the licking stuff. He's not going to stop being a weasel
and
try to instigate stuff.
And he can't, because that's what makes him that special of a player, is he agitates and he dominates. But the licking stuff was, there's no defending it. It's crossed the line.
I guarantee you, before Christmas, we'll be talking about him and an incident on the ice.
Yeah, but there's a difference between...
He'll be suspended next year.
For sure. An incident is fine. The licking is ridiculous. An incident is where you're, you know, gray area and all that. We expect that out of certain players.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure his dad got involved and said, I love you, son. I love watching you play hockey, but don't ever make me watch that again. I always think about stuff like that. Like, what would my dad think?
Mm-hmm.
And I've done some things in my past that my dad has not been very proud of and embarrassed. But that stuff there, he would call me and say, I don't ever want to watch that again. Or I'm never watching you again.
Yeah, that's...
Can you imagine what your dad would say if he went to a Barry Colts game and saw you lick another guy's face?
Yeah, I would think
he'd
be embarrassed.
Well, you'd have to get on the ice first.
All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is the former GM of the Cavaliers and SiriusXM NBA radio analyst. Here is David Griffin. How you doing, David?
Doing really well. Thanks for the opportunity to join you, and good timing. Embarrassing dads is something that I'm good at.
Oh, are you an embarrassing dad yourself?
No, I embarrassed the hell out of my own dad.
Oh, okay.
By doing what? Tell us what you did to embarrass your dad.
Everything that I did athletically was probably an embarrassment to him. I can tell you that.
Well, there's a bunch of stuff going on in Toronto here, and I want to ask you about Masai's comments today. It was the rah-rah speech saying we have to continue to get better. You know, we're not going to settle for this. Is that basically saying... Is that code for, we don't have a LeBron, we can't beat LeBron, and we're just going to try to do whatever going forward? Because that's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure it feels that way in Toronto just because it's 3 years in a row that LeBron has been the one to eliminate you. I don't think that's the case. I mean, I don't know what else Masai is supposed to do. He's not going to go on and say that they're a more fun franchise and they have no answers. So obviously he's going to be saying that they need to do better, and I think they've done a good job of year after year building towards that. You know, the thing I think that's lost in a lot of this discussion and lost in the fact that LeBron's at a level of greatness that just doesn't exist very many places in sports is the fact that Toronto's got a really young roster of talented kids. They've done very well in the draft, and the future's really bright. It's just I think you're in a situation where your two best players aren't good enough to dictate outcome versus the two best players of Cleveland.
Well, and I think that could apply in Boston if Irving is healthy and Tatum continues to grow or Hayward comes back. I think it would apply in Philly with Simmons and Embiid and the way that they're growing. So it's not only Cleveland in the future. I think there's going to be a couple of other teams in the East, and that's not saying anything about Golden State and or Houston in the West. So
I mean, that's
the concern
here. I think
those
same teams you mentioned, though, have also struggled to eliminate LeBron and Kevin. So again, you're talking about a team that has been a wrecking ball in the Eastern Conference playoffs against everybody. So it's not necessarily an indictment of Toronto. And I think if you look at the fact that you've got such a bright future, it's a really unique situation to have the level of expectation you had in the short term and still have the long-term future you have.
Well, when you say that about these young kids, I mean, do any of them strike you as future superstars, like Ananobi, Poeltl, Siakam, Van Fleet? Are any of them like high-end five-star type guys?
No, and I think that's really difficult to do where Toronto picks in the draft. And I understand it's why there are people that are really maniacal about we have to go the route of tanking and try to build up a championship nucleus of young kids that are high variance and lottery picks. I get that notion, but you're talking about taking a team that has a chance to be one of the best in the conference. Certainly if LeBron leaves the conference and you no longer have that impediment, I think you're talking about potentially unsettling something that's really well-founded right now, potentially for the future. And that's assuming that you believe in Kyle and DeMar as your two best players.
So when the president says it's on me now to fix this, what realistically could happen? I mean, like I always keep things in the memory bank. So if I was a reporter on that press conference, I'd say, okay, it's on you now. Come training camp, I'm going to say it was on you. What have you done to this point? So what could he possibly do to improve this team and say it's on him now?
It's a great question.
Thank you.
And I think it's a bigger question than I'm necessarily going to be able to answer from this distance. I think the notion that a coaching change is the answer is a little bit absurd to me. And it's not because he's coach of the year, and it's not because of anything other than he's built a group of players that care about one another. He's built and established a culture that works, and I think it would work in the presence of more elite talent. So I think by saying it's on me now, what that means is it's on me to get the level of talent that enables us to win deeper into the playoffs, that it's not about regular season success. You know, Atlanta had a 60-win team that went away very quickly, and it may never get back to being a 60-win team. So when you talk about making radical changes to a team that won, 59 games and was the number one seed, you have to be mindful of the fact that you may never be that good again if you tear it down. So it's on me probably means it's on him to find a way to get elite talent while maintaining a level of competitiveness like Boston did. Now, what makes what Danny Ainge did so incredibly impressive is they found a way to get elite talent and to build a stockpile of elite assets while still being competitive in the short term. And that's really hard to do. And as a president, that's really our biggest challenge.
Do you believe elite talent would come here? I think we've talked to you in the past, and you've said how players generally enjoy coming here to the city of Toronto. But could Toronto attract elite talent? And if not, why?
Yeah, I think it could. It would need to be elite talent that really wants to play with either the existing talent you have or the talent you're able to acquire for the existing talent you have. You've got to create a narrative and a vision of what it would mean to be in Toronto. And if you can attract people that are like-minded and want to be part of that vision, sure. I don't think there's anything that limits Toronto from attracting star talent, but you're not going to attract them in a vacuum. You you have to be attracting them to something that they're buying into.
With David Griffin, former Cavs GM and SiriusXM NBA radio analyst.
Don't you think that that's the biggest problem? If we're going to sit here and say these stars that Toronto has, they're not good enough to beat anybody else, why would that attract anyone else to come here?
Right, that's always been the issue here. Right.
Yeah, and in fairness, I'm not saying they're not good enough to beat any of the rest of them. I'm saying they're not good enough to beat LeBron and Kevin. And none of the other teams that you're talking about them potentially not being able to beat, none of those other teams beat LeBron and Kevin either. So I don't think you're looking at a situation where you can say unequivocally that the nucleus you have isn't better than what would remain in the East in the absence of LeBron. I don't think it's fair to say that because you were just the number one in that same conference. But I think it's fair to say that you're going to need to get some piece down the line. And again, I'm talking about you've got an average age on your team of, what, 25 and change?
Yeah, one of the youngest teams in the league.
You're going to have to find a way over the next couple years to attract someone that either really wants to play with DeMar and or Kyle, or you're going to have to attract two someones that want to come to whatever you're able to create in terms of cap space. But it's not, this isn't just an easy flip a switch thing. It's not a binary decision. You don't tank or you don't play to win. Sometimes you have to find a way to do both, and that's complicated.
Just quickly before we get to Dwayne Casey, this Kevin Love, the whole narrative on him has changed. It seems like just a few months ago there was private meetings discussing what his, you know, whole idea was or why he wasn't at meetings or wasn't playing. And now everyone's talking about, oh, him and LeBron are the pair that nobody can beat. It's quite the change, isn't it?
It's funny, actually. So I'm obviously a huge Kevin Love fan, and I'm really grateful that everybody is now starting to see how important he is to that whole situation. But when all of that happened, it was really clear to me, having been very close to it, that the reason it happens is that Kevin is the kind of guy who's an easy target. And he's been very open, as DeMar has been, about some of his challenges he's had from a mental health standpoint and how important it is to be open about, you know, needing help. Kevin is a really bright guy, and he's not the kind of guy that's going to sit in the locker room and lose his mind when someone goes at him. He's mindful of the fact that he does make mistakes, so he's open-minded to it's his fault. So he sort of ends up being the one guy that everybody can agree to point the finger at, and he's not going to beat your ass, so you get away with it. And I think what happens is he gets an unfair rap because of that, but everyone that was really on of the mindset that Kevin was the problem got cleared out of the locker room pretty quickly, because I know LeBron doesn't believe that, and I don't think anybody who won a championship with him believes it either. So I'm just grateful that everybody's starting to realize how important he is to the group.
With the former GM of the Cavs, David Griffin. All right, take us through the evaluation of Dwayne Casey as an executive. I mean, you've been through these situations before. When your season ends abruptly and it ends in the fashion that it did in Toronto, how do you approach the evaluation of your team, and specifically when it comes to your coach?
So, again, I look at it from the standpoint of, is it reasonable of me to think that another coach could have derived a different outcome with the existing talent that we have faced with the hurdle we were faced with? And I don't know who you put in Dwayne's job that gives you a better chance to succeed. I just can't imagine what that would look like. He's done such a good job of getting cultural buy-in to be part of what it is they're building. He and Masai obviously have been on the same page to a huge degree in terms of the way they've gone about building the team. It's hard for me to imagine that there's somebody else who's either not currently a head coach or is unemployed as a former head coach that you're going to give that job to, and you should have any reasonable expectation that Kyle and DeMar all of a sudden would have become good enough to get through that impediment. You know, I don't think the shortcomings that they had can be fingered on Dwayne Casey. You know, DeMar has warts as a go-to scorer. Kyle has warts as a go-to point guard. Every player has weaknesses, and those weaknesses just get amplified in the playoffs. And again, I don't see how that's something that should be Dwayne's fault. Having said that, I get why as a front office you feel like you have to do something. And we obviously did something very radical in Cleveland. So I understand you're going to make some decisions that are different and that people from the outside like me may not understand. But I just don't know who you would put in that situation that would be better off.
You can hear him on SiriusXM's NBA Radio, former Cavs GM David Griffin. Always appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you for doing this.
You bet. Thanks so much, guys.
There's David Griffin, the former GM of the Cavs. And interesting what he just said about Kevin Love. Because a lot of the guys, you heard it come out of the media that players were calling meetings and carving them up or taking runs at them.
Right.
And now you look back on it.
You left the building. You were sick or you were doing this, doing that.
It was Isaiah Thomas. They got rid of him. Right? It was, who else was a part of that team that they traded at the deadline? You could probably look back on it and go over the names. Dwayne Wade might have been one of them.
Right.
He said, you got to go.
Yeah.
Because, great. He's our guy. We've been to three finals with him. We won a title with him. And LeBron believes in him come playoff time. So
stood up and it worked out.
Absolutely. So
we've talked about him before where it's like, what is this guy all about?
He's
right. He's an easy target.
But he seems to be an enigma. Like he's a guy who kind of is in and out.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
when he's dialed in, you're like, man, that guy's impressive.
But then when he's out, he's...
And it happens every series. He's good for one game that's just awful, at least.
But there are players in any sport that frustrate you to watch because you think they're capable of more. And whether it's their body language, their effort level, something just drives you nuts about a player. And, I mean, remember Alex Kovalev? Alex Kovalev, for me, was one of the most talented hockey players who ever played the game. But there were times where he was just, he was wearing his suit underneath his gear because he didn't want to break a sweat. And he was a player that always left me wanting a little bit more because you watch him and...
But the thing is, Kovalev never, he won a cup, I guess, in 94 with the Rangers, but he was so young. But Love
is a guy who's done it.
He's done it. And now he did it under the umbrella of LeBron, and you always take that with a grain of salt. But I think because of Love's persona and his approach, it was easy to jump on him for whatever reason. And I'm not saying some of it wasn't justified. If you play horribly, then people are going to critique you.
Yep.
It's on you. But when the chips are down, he's shown up. And if LeBron buys into it, then he's going to stick around, and that's why he stuck around. Dave Poulin will be in studio in the 6 p.m. hour. Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, around 6:30. Jerry's percentages next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I'm a cowboy, baby, with the top let down and the sunshine shining.
No, keep the booing.
Are we having fun yet?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
It's Jerry. GERRY.
All right, Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from two people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 the Queensway or online, bestpc.ca.
I'm going to do you guys a favor tomorrow, and I'm going to go there and bring some to work tomorrow.
Come on. That would be huge. I am in the mood for some Best Portuguese chicken.
I got to get the potatoes, though.
Yeah, you got to get the whole nine if you're going. You got to get chicken, potatoes, the rice, those desserts that they make.
Do we need potatoes and rice?
Well, I don't want the rice.
Mix in a salad, maybe. I don't need a rice.
Let's do the potatoes, but the
rice... We'll do a bunch of chicken and potatoes and maybe
the double dip with him eating with the trough wasn't as appealing.
Oh, that was with the rice.
He was eating over top of the rice trough, and it was dropping back into the rice.
I was using the community spoon, and I got caught.
Yeah, you were...
Who cares? go ahead.
All right. Do we have an opening statement this weekend, I believe, from Jerry? Yes. He's got something he wants to say.
So I'm going to let all of you pigeons in on a little secret this week. Whenever the Toronto sports scene is taking a sky dump all over itself, Jerry makes sure to tune into this stupid show. Just to hear Hayes try to convince himself that one of the big three teams will actually win something someday. And to hear O-Dog and Noodles pretend like they're listening to that loser. This week in particular has been heaven for Jerry. Because the only thing I hate more than this show is the Toronto sports scene. We the Shart is for real. And you will continue sharting all over yourselves.
That, Jerry. I'm starting to hate on Jerry. I mean, he's...
That's not called... Like,
no, it's a godless comment. Like, I know you don't like Toronto and Canada and all that stuff, but we're going through some difficult times here.
Yeah.
The sports scene. And he is claiming We the Shart is a thing.
Yeah. And he only tunes in to hate listen. Like, if everything's rolling along and everything's all good, he's got no interest in listening to the show. But
it's not very nice.
When the Jays are blowing up and getting no hit, and the Raptors are a mess and getting swept, and Matthews and Babcock are in heated arguments, allegedly, Jerry can't wait to tune into this stupid show, as he would call it. Anyway, let's see what he's got in store this week in terms of hot takes. And as we know, we place a percentage on each one. Terms of them actually coming to fruition.
By the way, what are the grand totals of this? Some guy keeps track of it. Noodles is like 300 victories and you're like 24 and I'm 28.
Yeah, somehow Noodles is always in the lead.
I don't get caught up in the like hoping and wishing and that. I just try and play the percentages.
You're it's an objective guy.
Jerry's percentages, so I play the percentages.
Let's hear what Jerry has to say.
One of the things I heard this week on the show was the Don Gorski interview, and it made me sick. The only thing I've done 30,000 times is sent scathing emails to that bozo with the cup, Philip Pritchard. I'll never forgive him for leaving me high and dry without the cup in Chicago. Anyway, Jerry's predicting that Don Gorski will hit the next goal of 40,000 Big Macs.
No way. Because I'm saying 0%. Every doctor is trying to get some promotion saying, Don, you got to stop eating the Big Macs. Let's get you healthy. Let's get your cholesterol down, and we're done with this.
Why would he stop now? He's been eating Big Macs every day since 1972.
Because some doctor's going to pay him to say you went with me in my program, my fitness health program.
No, he's going to keep
No
eating.
Way, man. This guy,
we interviewed him. 0%. Okay. Don Gorski will not eat 40,000 hamburgers.
This is a 15-year Jerry. So you know that,
I know that. He said 14 years, I believe. Okay. Every 14 years, he hits 10 grand.
So 14 years from
now. Dude, this show will not last 14 years.
There's a 0% chance of that. But I'm going to say 100% that Gorski hits 40 grand.
I feel
100%.
0%.
100%. Dude, this guy's been eating Big Macs. 1.8 Big Macs per day on average.
Really
since
shocking, by the way, that this guy gets 8-pack on Monday, six-pack six Monday,
eight-pack on Thursday with parfaits.
Here's the shocking thing for me.
He loves a parfait,
Have you ever had a day-old Big Mac?
No.
I'm not going to lie. I've had some big weekends golfing, and there's been a McDonald's order that comes in on a Friday night. You get home from golf Saturday, and some of it's still there. You eat it, it tastes like it hasn't gone anywhere.
Okay, I get that. That's a one-off. I'm talking on Monday, Wednesday for dinner, this guy's got two on the microwave plate.
He claims it's 30 seconds and they're gold.
Or he buys them on Thursday, Sunday afternoon.
Sunday night.
He's diving into a Big Mac. Like, those, the shelf life of those, there's a reason why at McDonald's, when the fries, like, they're under the heaters, They pull them out of there after a certain amount of time because those things like turn to sawdust, and it's the same thing. Like their hamburgers can't be.
Dude, it's not.
They're
possible.
Hamburgers. I've had some moments where you go away and you come back and there's a McDonald's burger that's a week old that looks like it's brand new. It doesn't age. It's perfect. You could eat it.
It's a preservative.
That says something about what's actually in the food. But
okay, well,
listen, man, he's been doing it. It doesn't matter if we care or not. He's been doing it since 1972.
0%. I think he changes his tune.
No, never. 100%.
I'm saying 91.
We're calling him next week.
The only reason I can say this, and I don't want to be morbid, is that this guy just thinks he cashes
his chips.
Well,
he's not a young guy anyway. It's not as if...
Like that,
he'll finish a Big Mac one day and face plant on the cement.
So that's why I'm going with 87%.
I'm going with zero. You can't keep eating like
that. He's on the track to getting to 40,000. I just think the body may shut down one day.
Does he sound like a quitter to you? Does Don Gorski sound like a quitter to you?
If he passes away, he's going to get buried. in a wrapper.
Big Mac
in a Big
wrappers.
Mac, a Big Mac wrapper. They're going to wrap him up in it. That's it.
Yeah.
I think the body could give out before he hits a number. I don't know if it's 40,000.
Jerry's going to be in the building tomorrow night in Nashville with the Predators face paint on. Because there's nothing I love more than seeing the Peg have its soul crushed. Sorry, not sorry. The Preds win game 7.
So Jerry's got Nashville winning tomorrow night. Sorry, not sorry. Hashtag.
I mean, it's in Nashville's court now. I think Winnipeg needed to wrap it up in 6. You're going home. Like, Nashville's been there and done that before, too. The only thing that I could say, Winnipeg, if one of the young guys, if Laine,
yeah,
Connor,
the whole thing about the series, Steelers, Jamie, it's been unpredictability. It's like you think one thing's going to happen, whether it be Nashville at home or the Jets back in the whiteout, they're going to dominate.
But there's been swings, man. That's what we expected. We expected a great series with two really good teams.
I saw there was some stats today on Natural Stat Trick. The shots, the scoring chances, 5-on-5, it is dead even.
But that's because, you know, like one game, one team's dominating, then the next game. So I don't even know if it actually has been a great series. Like, in reality, there haven't been great games.
Well, there was the one game that ended up, I think it was ended up 7-4 with a couple empty netters, but that was a 5-4 game. That game was ridiculous because that was, for a while, 4-4.
Mm-hmm. That was game 3, I think.
Yeah, that was a really good game.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think it's all over the map. I have to give the edge to Nashville. In their own building. Been there before. And we haven't seen, like, their superstars, really. I mean, Forsberg stepped up. But I'm like, Subban is always a storyline. Like, and he's been kind of, I didn't think he was real good last game. And he's a big time, you know, he's a...
Oh, he's got a history. He's played in game 7.
He wants to play and scored overtime goals. And
all right. Like, what's your number at, then?
I'm going to say 48%.
Well, Jerry's got Nashville winning. So if you're Nashville...
52%.
52%.
I'm just above... I think Winnipeg can do it.
I'm going 15% because I think it's the series of unpredictability, which would say Winnipeg wins tomorrow.
Yeah.
15%.
I'm going to say 50%. Right on the button.
You can't tell.
That's a coin flip.
That's almost like not even making it.
It's a coin flip. What it is. I'm showing respect
for
both teams.
That's 72 under at the no balls open.
50%.
Height might not measure heart, but the 771 ERA measures a gas can of a season. And with those numbers, Marcus Stroman will miss at least one scheduled start this season. Could be sent to the minors. Could be sent to the bullpen. Who knows?
So Jerry's saying he's going to have a start skipped.
I noticed Jerry's talking a little slower this week.
Yeah, what's with Jerry?
Very excitable.
Maybe a little bit too slow, to be honest with you, but...
Well, let's... How about Jerry will just do his own thing for now on?
Well, Jerry's been a little bit quick.
Yes.
But anyway...
Anyway, I'm going to say 85%. Something has to change with this guy.
Yeah, I'm real high on this. I'm real high. Like, he came out after the game, and he's like, my mechanics are off. Like, he's been awful.
He's basically saying he's a mess.
He has been a mess.
Yeah,
every
he's had
start.
A slow start in training camp, and he hasn't been able to get back on track. Very
every
simple.
Start has been awful. He's got a 7.71 ERA. He's walking guys left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Like, he's morphing into Ricky Romero right now. Like, that. It's almost like you have to see what he's going to do next on the mound.
Ricky Romero went from being...
He was an ace, the man in Toronto, to just completely spiraling out of control.
How quickly did his demise take for Ricky Romero? Was it 2 years?
Yeah, they gave him a couple of years. Like, Stroman isn't actually in territory right now.
That, but I remember because when I first moved to Toronto, I was renting his place.
Right.
Ricky Romero.
But based on expectations, there are similarities. Like, Romero was, you know, first-round pick, and he was a guy that came up when Doc was here, and he was ready to go, and he put up big numbers, and the expectations were that he would be the man, and it all fell apart. And Stroman, the same thing. He was 8th in Cy Young voting last year in the American League. He had great numbers.
Yeah.
Like, and this year, it was supposed to be the Stro show all year, and it has not shown up once. So I think, you know, they're going to throw him out there for a couple of more scheduled starts, but if he keeps getting blown up, You have to do something.
No kidding.
90%.
It's for the player's best interest.
Right. At some point, you got to be like, here, skip a start.
Reset.
Take your time. They might even come up with some phantom injury where he's on the DL for 10 days.
Now, Hamstring tightness.
Well,
does that count? That's going to change the way I vote here.
It's a technicality, because if it's a fraudulent DL stunt,
how do we know, though?
That's the thing. We're not actually.
If it's an injury, that's not the case. But if it's, hey, we're going to give him a collective pause, you guys are quite high. I'm saying 76%. I'm still very high on it, but I think he's a talented kid. He can turn it around.
Oh, he's got the
tools.
And
a lot of times he seems like a guy who's got a lot of swings in his game as far as emotion. He has one good start. That could stem into three or four.
They could certainly use it right now.
Exactly.
Mike Babcock will last in Toronto longer than at least one of Matthews, Marner, or Nylander.
This is a good one by Jerry. I'm surprised Jerry's never come up with this take.
He will last longer than...
at least one of them. So one of them, Matthews, Marner, or Nylander, will be out of here before Babcock. Jerry is making that call.
One of them will be out of here before Mike Babcock. I think there is a 60% chance of that.
You think?
I think one might get traded. I don't know.
Well, that's what we're probably talking about.
Yeah,
here.
We're talking about
one. One's going to get traded. Unless Babcock's the coach for the next 20
years.
Actually,
I'm going to back off of that. I'm going to go 20%.
I think it's low. Because I think at some point, I personally would bridge the two. Like, I would bridge Marner and I would bridge Nylander and then sign them to long-term deals. Matthews, you sign immediately. Those guys are going to be here for term. Now, again, a trade, if I know it's easy and people circle Nylander. Oh, that's the trade him for this, trade him for that. I'm not convinced, but if Nylander has another 50-point season, like then maybe he is just what that is, an inconsistent player who has upside that he leaves some of it on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that grows old.
I think Babcock has a lot of power within the organization.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's done a pretty good job. You know, they've grown year over year.
Yep.
What's he got left on his contract?
He signed, I thought it was a six-year deal. I think he's got 3 years left.
That's about what he's got left.
Wasn't it an eight-year deal?
I think you're right, actually. It was
8 years. He's got 5 years left.
No, yeah. He's got 2 to 3 left.
You're right.
Because if they get sick of him and they just start...
Yeah,
but okay, I think
but
there's
a chance.
Even if you
think he's got 2 to 3 left, the question is, does he outlast... I mean,
he's not going to outlast Matthews.
Right.
Matthews.
I've already given you my percentage,
I'm just talking through mine right now. Matthews, he's not outlasting. Like, unless he's the coach for 25 years, but that's not going to happen. Marner, I don't think he's outlasting. Nylander is the one for me. And I think there's a chance they trade him at some point. I don't know when. I don't know for who. I don't even know why, necessarily, what the reasoning would be. But I think there's a good chance that at some point, Babcock is going to sell them on trading one of them, and they're going to buy into it. And I think he's going to outlast at least one of them. 65%.
I'm low on this. I'm actually low. I'm like 16%. You're already. I'm going to paint a picture for you. Have a good season again next year. May not get 105 points. Say you get 100 points. Make the playoffs, and you have another first round exit. Now you start to go, okay, now, like, and...
But that's the question becomes their noodles. Do they blame the coach or the players?
You're right.
And if they say it's the players, then there's a chance one of those guys is going to go.
And there's also the other word, hate.
Well, I think that's where...
Do they hate the coach?
Like, let's just... Daryl Sutter, where do you think Babcock is as far as the hard-ass factor? Is he a Tortorella? Is he a Daryl Sutter? Is he a Ken Hitchcock? Is he? He's cut from that kind of cloth.
Absolutely,
right?
He's in that same group.
Those guys are 3 to 5 year window guys.
But here's the difference, though: is Babcock got here when they were awful, when they were starting a tank,
right?
Like,
so you kind of give him the first 18 months, but
it's different, right? These are kids. This isn't Hitchcock walked into Dallas and Spez is 34.
Yeah, no.
You know, Jamie Benn's 28 or whatever.
But
they're
it's,
like
in St. Louis, like in Columbus, in Philly, like there's those guys, the track record, it wears thin. And today's athlete, there's less tolerance. That's what I would say, respectfully. There's less tolerance. I could see a message or a hardness wearing thin to a point where, hey, it player goes, I can't do this anymore, or he can't. Like, I'm still low. That's why I said 16%. I think that Babcock outlasts, or these kids, like,
will outlast Babcock.
Exactly. Because I think that a coach has, it's easier. Look at what we're doing, talking about Dwayne Casey.
Yeah.
Like,
and that core has stuck around, and he's, yeah, no, I hear
and
you.
Dwayne Casey could be on the outs.
Players are more important than the coach.
Exactly. It's you fire the coach instead of firing all the players.
These kids are still so young that
yeah,
there's a lot of different potential for moving parts in the future.
John Tavares will leave the Islanders and sign with a team in Canada.
25%.
How much?
25.
That's a good number. Because there's probably about four organizations that are really going to be after John as far as like deeper into talks. Montreal has to be one.
Montreal's got to be at the front of the line.
They've got to be just throwing the book at him.
Yes, but, that's an obvious one. Yeah. Ottawa should be, but they won't.
I don't think they can. Yeah, I don't think they can.
No, they won't.
In essence, financially.
Tavares won't even listen anyway. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Tavares isn't sitting down with Ottawa. Toronto's a wild card in this. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would think they'd talk to him. Winnipeg, probably not.
No.
Although they've got some cap room, don't they? Like, they're going to have to sign Line A, but...
You're going to have to spend some money on Hellebuck and Line A in the future.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a spot there, too. Like, ultimately, there's a spot for John Tavares everywhere.
That's what I'm saying.
But, I mean, you have to think of it from a business standpoint. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's...
Would Calgary kick tires on him?
Monahan? Backlund? No, I don't think so. I mean... No. I personally, so again, that's the thing.
Everybody's got to sniff around on him.
I would think so, too.
But. I'm just saying, like, from either internal budgets or to fitting him in, he's going to get double digits. So it's 10-plus.
Yeah. Over 7 years. It's
over
a big
7
commitment.
Years. And it's, you know, even Vancouver could be a team like Bo Horvat. They could probably fit it in, but is he going to choose them?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. We just kind of went over everything, and it's kind of a tough sell everywhere you go.
But Montreal is
an obvious one.
And it's a legitimate. It's a legitimate. Like, if he wants to go there or not.
Oh, they'll give him a blank check. They'll pay him whatever. Yeah, I'll say 15%.
You were what? Oh?
20 or 25? What?
25.
25, 15. I'll go 27%.
Just over.
Just in case he signs in Montreal.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good Jerry's this week.
Way to work. Way to work, guys.
Very good.
Jerry is going to be not accepting
critiques anymore.
Critique.
No. Oh, Jerry's just
Jerry almost had a bit of a meltdown when he was. He told me anyway that he was told to slow down.
Yeah.
Maybe someone else should do Jerry if there's a particular pace.
Okay.
Maybe someone else should put in all the work.
Jerry Ann is around. Jerry's. She's available.
You know
what?
I'll do Jerry. Next week,
yeah,
Jerry does Jerry.
Okay. I will believe that when I see it.
Okay. There's no need for any convo between Jerry and his assistant because Jerry will do it all.
We'll take care of everything. Okay. Dave Poulin in studio in 15 minutes. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Our buddy Dave Poulin will join us in studio to kick off the hour. We're teeing up Game 7 tomorrow night down in Nashville. We'll tee up the Eastern Conference Final as well. Any surprises from his end that the Leafs have not announced their new GM? We'll see what Pooley has to say on that. And Steve Phillips on the Blue Jays being no hit last night. And what is up with Marcus Stroman? Final hour up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.